May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer.
Amen.
Amen. Good morning. It's wonderful to be here with you and to see many familiar faces and many new ones as well. For those who I don't yet know, I'm the Reverend Canon Jesse Gutzel Dodson, and I serve as Canon to the Ordinary on Bishop Ann's staff here in the Diocese of Ohio. I'll say more about my role later on in the sermon. But I am here often. My office is right over there. I look at these beautiful windows from my desk, and it's great to be here at our cathedral for worship here. I'm very glad to share this space with Canon Adrian this morning and with all of you. This morning, we get a story that is familiar to many of well-beloved sisters. It's often framed to us as a juxtaposition of two kinds of archetypes of what it is to be in the world. Are you like Mary, the contemplative disciple? Or are you like Martha, who is distracted by her many tasks? I find that line of interpretation has been helpful to me in the past. It's helpful to look at our posture in the world, particularly as we live in a culture that is so hooked on productivity and on the hustle and the work. But sometimes that juxtaposition of archetypes leaves me a little bit wanting. Like perhaps we've missed the main part of that gospel story if we just stop after talking about ourselves in the world. When we talk so much about ourselves that we slip into that groove that the writer Evelyn Underhill captured so well when she wrote to the Archbishop of Canterbury and said, "Remember that God is the most interesting thing about religion, not us." And so we return to Luke's beloved words to see what they have to tell us about the most interesting part of our religion, of God. And I'm gonna get there by talking about Martha again, and I know that I'm doing that. So Martha, we are told, was distracted by her many tasks. Now, when I heard that as a young child in church and for a long time, I had an imagination about what Martha was doing, and I imagine you do too. I was thinking that Martha was probably washing dishes, and she was probably getting ready because she was about to host Jesus in her home. And you may be like the Marthas of the world, that when a guest comes, you want your house to be so clean it doesn't look like you live there. And that was what Martha must have been doing. But if we look at the original text, the story gets a little bit more complicated. Because that word for tasks, in its original Greek, that word is diakonia. I know that word is going to be familiar because there are a lot of clergy out here right now who have studied Greek. The word diakonia is the root of our own word for deacons. So, maybe Martha wasn't busy with meaningless or menial tasks. Maybe Martha was one of the church's first deacons. That order of ministry that interprets the dreams and hopes of the world to the church. The people who are called to stand at the threshold, that teach us that in serving Christ and in serving the vulnerable and needy, we serve Jesus himself. Now, this is the part of the sermon where I will admit that I have always identified as a Martha. And so it makes sense probably that I would try to interpret this gospel in a way that would defend our sister. And I think actually this could be a doorway into a different hearing of this story. one that invites us to recenter that which matters most in our lives. I know that is an invitation to recentering that I need to hear in my life of faith. I know that as a minister of the church, I too can get so lost in the good and holy and important work of the church that I lose sight of the thread. A couple of weeks ago, I spent a week in retreat with our Bishop Anne. A crucial piece of my role as canon to the ordinary is walking in lockstep with her, is working to create the vision for our diocese and bring it to life in structures and strategies. She is the ordinary to which my title refers, the one we elected to keep the order, to guard the unity of our faith. This is a role that in a few days I will have held for 2 years. And in those 2 years, I have spent a lot of time talking about the church. I have spent a lot of time in vestry rooms, in church basements, talking about the buildings, these gorgeous, gorgeous buildings that our ancestors gave us. Spent a lot of time talking about how there's no more kids, although I present. There are, bless you. But so many of our 79 faith communities are consumed with these questions of the church. And in my role on the bishop's staff, I find myself often sitting in that room with them, problem solving, strategizing, hearing. And sometimes I notice that I'm talking more about the church than I'm talking about Jesus. And I hear the words echoing that I heard our bishop say at one of the listening sessions 2 summers ago when she said, "We're at risk of becoming churchians rather than Christians." So the bishop and I sat together and we spent intentional time in prayer, spacious time in silence. We tried to resist the Martha within us that wanted to do and to accomplish, and rather to just be. And we talked about what it would look like to build communities of contemplation and prayer in our diocese. What it would look like to cultivate leaders who are lay and ordained, who have spiritual muscle to hold competing truths in tension, who are adaptable and resilient. We prayed through the vision of our diocese that we are connected in beloved community, that we seek to be faithful, healthy, effective, and sustainable sharers of the transformative love of Jesus. And this week, as I spent time with the sisters, Mary and Martha, I realized that their work and their ministry wasn't so different from ours. They too were wondering and exploring what it meant to be communities of faith centered around the transformative love of Jesus, this healer and this teacher and their friend. They too were living into what it meant to have that sacred balance of action and contemplation, what it means to rest and what it means to tend, what it means to pray. All of the same questions we are asking today. So I look at Martha with a soft heart. For that moment when she lost the thread of what it is that she had been called to do. We need those reminders of the danger of losing that thread, which is what Father Eric read to us in the words of the prophet Amos this morning, which is not really about summer fruit. It's really about the end of the world. When Amos talks about that risk of when we are so eager to be done with our Sabbath because we want to get back to productivity and to gain. And what results from that is a famine of the word of God among us. But we are not living in such a time of famine of the word of God because we have the words of Jesus. And those are the words to which we return whenever we fall into those seasons of disorientation. And we look at our text for today. Jesus goes to Martha, frantic with her activity, and says, "Martha, Martha, you are worried about many things. There is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, and that will never be taken away from her." I have to let the sting of that rest, the sting of what it must have felt like. I only have brothers, but if Jesus told me my brother had chosen the better part, I would not get over that quickly. So I let that sit, and I look at the truth of what Jesus has said. So what did Mary choose? What was that most important thing? Well, we hear before we hear of Martha that Mary has taken her place and is sitting at the feet of Jesus, listening to his words. Mary is not trying to prove anything in this moment, I don't think. She is not trying to care for anyone. She's not even caring for Jesus himself. She is sitting at his feet and receiving his wisdom. And that is the most important thing, Jesus tells us. Even when the world feels like it's slipping through our fingertips, even when the church feels beyond our saving of it, the most important thing is to sit at the feet of Jesus. And so we who are in a society that forms Marthas are invited to embody the discipleship of Mary, to hone in on the truth we heard in that letter to the Colossians, that before all of this, there was Christ, the firstborn of all creation, and that it is in Christ alone that all things hold together, because he is the head of the church. No human authority in this world, no institution, and no program will save us. It is Christ alone that can do that. And when we sit at the feet of Jesus, that is a bold act of faith. It's not just a personal retreat of prayer, it is an act of resistance in this world. To sit at the feet of Jesus and say, "I'm not going to hold it all together, but Jesus will." And so, beloved, that is the invitation from our dear sisters, Mary and Martha. That is the truth of the most interesting thing about our religion, God, that Christ alone can save, that in him all things are possible and all things hold together. And we, as his followers, called to share his transformative love in this world, are invited not first to act, but first to sit at his feet, to listen to his words, to rest in his truth, and to pray. Amen.